Now, state lawmakers are planning to vote today on a number of Republican-backed proposals, including some aimed at limiting the powers of Governor-elect Tony Evers and incoming Attorney General Josh Call. The legislature's Joint Finance Committee advanced the plans yesterday on party line 12-4 votes. Those measures include a lot of things, including shortening the window for early voting, making Evers get legislative approval to ban guns in the state capitol, preventing Evers and Call from pulling Wisconsin out of the multi-state Obamacare lawsuit, and a lot of others. GOP leaders dropped a bill, however, to move the 2020 presidential primary from April to March because they said it didn't have enough support. Democrats like Joint Finance Committee member Chris Taylor of Madison say Republicans are trying to repudiate last month's elections.
I have to say, it's a very sad day when we have the Wisconsin Elections Commission certifying the results of the November 6th election. On the same day, we have an extraordinary session to actually take away the powers of the newly elected governor and the newly elected Attorney General.
Republicans say they're looking to balance power between the legislature and the executive branch. Arnold Schober is an associate professor of government at Lawrence University. Arnold, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Well, you've been watching Wisconsin government for some time now. How unprecedented, how unusual is this extraordinary session, or does it kind of fit in with past practice as you see it?
Well, extraordinary sessions are extraordinary. We don't see them often. It's been many years since we've had one here. Usually they're called to take up really special and tailored pieces of legislation, often dealing with budgets that haven't been finished in time and this kind of thing. In terms of nationally, though, there have been a lot of comparisons made to North Carolina, which its legislature did similar kinds of things after a Democrat, its Republican-controlled legislature did similar things after a Democrat was elected in the last election cycle. So that part of this isn't unprecedented, but certainly in Wisconsin we haven't seen a legislature so clearly take on really specific policies that they don't want the incoming governor to touch.
Republican Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said in a news conference yesterday that this is just how lame duck sessions typically go. Here's a listen.
Well, once again, the process has to work, and I think this is part of that process, just like it was when Senator Decker convened the Senate back in 2010 in that lame duck. So people are outraged. You know, I'm not sure where that's coming from right now. This is a lame duck session is a lame duck session.
He's comparing this to 2010 when Democrats tried to pass a specific piece of legislation, overdue union contracts for state workers. This is a comparison a lot of Republicans have made. What do you make of that?
I think it's a reasonable comparison in that that was supposed to prevent Scott Walker from taking what became Act 10 and putting that into place. But this one is much broader. You see some of those bills trying to restrict severely the power of the Attorney General in particular, and several different pieces of legislation about what Tony Evers isn't allegedly going to be doing now because of the bills should they pass. So it's much more broad-based than that previous special session. And yeah, I think it really shows kind of that the level of animosity between both political parties. Fitzgerald, I believe, today said he doesn't trust Evers. Evers has tried to say that he's willing to work with him, but I'm not sure that other Democrats would extend that same olive branch. So what we're seeing is kind of the depth of where Wisconsin politics has really gone.
We saw Jim Doyle, former governor, also former attorney general, weigh in on this lame duck. He's not a guy who does a lot of interviews since he's been governor, or honestly, while he was governor in a lot of ways. He talked about possible legal challenges to this, especially over this idea, I think, of the legislature having its own power to represent Wisconsin in a legal sense, taking away some of that power from the attorney general. What are you looking for in terms of possible court battles if a lot of these things pass?
Well, certainly the Attorney General is going to try to suggest that the legislature is usurping a constitutional role. There was some analog actually with Jim Doyle back with Tommy Thompson when Thompson tried to take over the state superintendent's office. And the Wisconsin courts eventually came down and said Thompson couldn't, through the legislature, take another constitutional office. There could be some parallel there if the legislature is effectively trying to tell the Attorney General how to do his job. You could see kind of an interbranch comparison there.
Now, this is something that's happening right after we just had an election. Is this something, or there's not another election now for 2 years, is this something that voters are going to remember come, 2020?
It's unlikely that they'll remember it, especially because many of the bills are fairly technical. And while they sound like top-ticket items now, with the exception of the Attorney General bills, I should say, but I think voters will largely forget. There will be a new issue. There will be a presidential election that year, which I'm sure will take most of the oxygen out of the room.
That said, are these significant, people have been using the word sweeping changes, are these significant limits to the power of the governor and the Attorney General, or are these just little, dents around the edges?
For the Attorney General, it's very significant. It effectively would empower the legislature to do his job in deciding who's going to sue or defend the state from lawsuits, and that is constitutionally at the moment anyway, and legally the Attorney General. For Tony Evers, they are more kind of around the edges. Yes, they'd prevent him from making some changes to Badger Care or going after more Affordable Care Act things. But they didn't go after the veto power, for example, which would have been a major dent in Evers' powers going forward. Because in Wisconsin, the governor has the strongest line item veto in the country. It's been toned back slightly since Tommy Thompson used it to strike out letters. They didn't go after that. But certainly the Attorney General changes are sweeping and very significant.
We're talking about the state legislature's lame duck session with Arnold Schober, associate professor of government at Lawrence University in Appleton. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to the various bills state Republicans are working to pass, introduced the language unveiled on Friday, aiming for votes starting today? Are they denying the results of last month's elections, or do you see them fairly balancing out power in state government? And is there a particular issue you're seeing here that you're worried about, or big picture, are you worried or glad to see lawmakers trying to restrict the powers of incoming elected officials? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@WPR.org or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the lame duck session in the state legislature. Arnold Schober is with us, associate professor of government at Lawrence University. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your reaction to this whole extraordinary session? Do you see it as sour grapes on behalf of Republicans, or should they be able to pass whatever they want before their term ends? Which proposal stands out most with you and why? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. To your calls now, Nate is with us in Milwaukee. Nate, hi.
Hi, thank you. I was going to say that I think this is a further attempt to undermine democracy. I'm all for balance between powers, but I'll point out that for the last several years, the state legislature has basically rigged their own elections through gerrymandering, so they don't actually represent the will of the people. And they're trying to take away power from people who were actually honestly elected. For issues, the whole Obamacare thing was very much discussed in the election, and people voted on that the way they chose. And I think there's probably more details in this that we just haven't heard about, but we ought to take a look at it.
Nate, thanks a lot for the call. Arnold, some people have said, some of these issues like the Obamacare lawsuit were part of the political conversation during the election, and this is kind of pulling the rug out from under the results. Is there something to what Nate's saying there?
Certainly, Obamacare was widely discussed here and around the country, and people's views on that have warmed up somewhat since its initial adoption long ago. And it is, I think it's fairly clear that the legislature, the Republican-controlled legislature, is worried that Evers would carry through with his campaign promises to expand access through that program and make some other changes that Walker had not wanted. And this is their small window to prevent him from doing that. And whether that's democracy or something else, I'll let others decide. But certainly they are I'm worried that he would be able to continue on his plans.
Nate, thanks for the call. Go to Elaine now in Colfax. Elaine, hi.
Hi. If they wanted to limit the power of the governor and attorney general, why didn't they do it when Walker was the governor? And Tony Evers is a distinguished and kind and intelligent man. And I wish it would just let him do his job. Let's see what he's got. And the other thing, bottom line is, I think this is all just petty, childish, and ultimately very dangerous.
Elaine, thanks for the call. Robin Voss, Assembly Speaker, Republican Assembly Speaker, has said, this is just kind of a civics lesson here. We're reconfiguring the balance between the executive and the legislature. Elaine and many others saying, okay, they've had 8 years to do that. Why now?
I think why now is pretty obvious in the sense that for 8 years they've had a governor in the same party. And for better or worse, they have expanded Walker's powers, by giving away some previous things that the legislature had done. And now that the parties are changing hands, they want to take some of that back. If that's a civics lesson, I don't know. It sounds more kind of petty, to use Elaine's words there, because they have had time. And even as late as July and August, some Republican lawmakers were musing whether they had given Walker too much power. That's kind of a little bit of a last-minute regret, if you were to ask me. There was certainly plenty of time to do that earlier.
And one thing we're not seeing, as far as I can tell, there were concerns raised by Eric Holder, among others, that what the Republicans would try to remove the governor from the redistricting process in 2 years. One of our callers mentioned gerrymandering and redistricting. That is, apparently there's no changes there. This could be one of the biggest battles, though, over the next couple of years, is redistricting.
Absolutely, and most likely our next set of lines will wind up in the courts again, which has happened the last several cycles, 2010 being the exception, largely because the governor of a separate party and the legislature haven't been able to agree. In this case, Evers will have a say in that. He'll have to sign a bill for Wisconsin's new lines after the 2020 census, but the Republicans in the legislature will have a first crack at drawing them. So unless they can magically figure out a way for Republicans to be happy with lines and Evers and the Democrats to be happy with lines, it's very likely to wind up in the courts, as the state's constitutional officers won't agree on what those lines should look like. It will be the major battle after 2020.
Go back to our callers now. Jerry is with us in Eau Claire. Jerry, hi.
Hello. What we need to do is we need to change this so that we don't have lame duck sessions. When you're fired from a business, they take your key and they show you the door. You don't get an opportunity to have revenge on the business for 2 months.
Jerry, thanks for the call. Arla, I've seen some other people suggest this over the years, in fact. Is there any way to get rid of this lame duck session between Election Day and when a new legislature and governor are sworn in?
Well, they did largely in Congress. We forget that before 1933, new members of Congress didn't take office for 13 months. So there was a year-long lame duck session before Franklin D. Roosevelt became president. A federal constitutional amendment changed that, so now there's only essentially 2 months between the election and the new U.S. Congress. We could conceivably do something similar here in Wisconsin and require that the legislature adjourn until a new governor comes in January. We'd have to mess around with the calendar some, but it's certainly a constitutional possibility.
Thanks for that call. And Arnold, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Arnold Schober is an associate professor of government at Lawrence University. We talked with him about the lame duck session in the state legislature. We'll have more on that tomorrow on the Ideas Network on the morning show starting at 6 a.m. and here on Central Time tomorrow after 4. We'll see what kind of voting has happened between now and then.